Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When I was 8 years old, my father sat me down and gave me some advice that I've never been able to forget. He had come back home really late from work that day, and I asked him why he was always out so late. My father then looked me in the eyes and said, "Listen, Charles, it's a man's job to provide for his family. That's why I often come home really late as I do. I have to do anything I can to put food on the table for you and your siblings." At the time, things weren't really going well in our family, as we were struggling to make ends meet, but my father still did everything he could to feed us and keep a roof over our heads. It wasn't easy during that period of our lives, but things eventually got much easier as my father began to do some side jobs that brought in a lot of money for our family. Our lives got much better from that point, and while this was great news at first, these peculiar side jobs would eventually rip our family apart as we realized just how far my father would go to provide for his family. My father's name was Henry Smith, and he was a respected realtor in our neighborhood and the surrounding area. If you'd asked anyone in our little town to describe my father, they'd probably tell you that Mr. Henry was the most hard-working man on the block. He spent the majority of his time at his realtor job, and due to his relentless dedication, it wasn't long before he'd become a well-known figure in the real estate market. He was also one of the best house flippers in the industry, as my father would often buy abandoned buildings, fix them up, and later sell the renovated buildings on the market. I'd always admired my father, as I knew he gave everything he had to become a well-respected realtor and house flipper. However, there was a part of me that also knew there was something really odd about my father's business. I could tell my father made a lot more money than the average realtor or real estate investor. Most of my friends' parents were also in the real estate business, but they weren't able to bring in half of the income my father was able to generate in such a short amount of time. I knew my father had another lucrative source of income that was, and whenever I asked him what it was, he just said he was doing some side jobs in the real estate industry to generate all the additional money he was bringing home. Despite my suspicions, I chose to believe my father's words, as I knew he was an honest man. But on the 18th of July, 2016, I finally found out what those side jobs were, and the revelation made me sick to my stomach. My father had taken me to work with him that fateful day, as he wanted to show me a house he was flipping. He'd recently been talking about how he wanted to get me into the real estate business so I could take over from him when I was done with college. My father showed me around the abandoned building that he was renovating, but halfway through the tour, he received an important business call from a client, so he told me I should go wait in the car while he handled the urgent call. I sat in the car for a while, but I eventually got bored, so I decided to explore the abandoned building by myself. Walking through the large rooms and the halls of the large abandoned building made me feel like a kid again, as it reminded me of the times I went exploring as a child with my childhood friends. I looked around the abandoned building for a few minutes before something odd caught my eye. I'd come across these creepy-looking steps that led down to a chained, rusty gate. I was curious, so I went to check it out. As I got closer, I realized that the large padlock was left open, and I thought my dad or someone else had forgotten to lock it back up. Due to the amount of chains and the large padlock, it was clear to me that the person who locked the gate didn't want anyone to see what was behind it. I thought about leaving it alone, but my curiosity got the best of me, and I decided to check it out. It took me a while to undo the chains after I removed the unlocked padlock, but I eventually opened the gate and made my way down the dark hallway. As I walked through the creepy hallway, I felt shivers up my spine. The air down there was dense, and I found it hard to breathe properly. I took out my phone to record everything I was seeing, and I noticed some disturbing graffiti on the wall. Someone had written the word "Hell" with an arrow pointing towards the end of the hall. Everything in my body told me to leave that place and go back to the car. But I couldn't, as I was overwhelmed by my curiosity, and I knew I couldn't leave before seeing what was at the end of the hall. As I inched closer to the end of the hallway, my heart pace kept increasing. I felt like I could hear someone breathing heavily at the end of the hallway, and it wasn't long before I stopped moving down the eerie hallway when I saw something out of the corner of my eye. My entire body froze in terror as I finally came across the origin of the strange breathing sounds. There was a shirtless man crouched in the corner of the building's hallway. I couldn't see his face, but I had a feeling that he was extremely dangerous. I zoomed in on my camera to get a better look, and I could see his hair was standing on end, and he was making animal-like noises. It was a terrifying sight, and I wasn't sure what the man would do if he noticed me, so I ran and tried to get out of the building. I didn't know which path I had used to get there, and I was finding it difficult to retrace my steps. I knew I was lost now, and the building's hallway began to look like a maze, and I had no idea where the exit was, but I kept running. Unfortunately, while I was desperately trying to find my way out of the ghastly abandoned building, I came across the man again. But this time, he was standing upright and staring straight at me. I opened my mouth to talk as I attempted to calm down the bizarre man who was now looking at me with a crazed and hateful look in his eyes. But before I could say anything, the man lunged at me. It felt like I was trying to fight off a rabid animal. The man attacked me viciously as he tried to use his teeth, nails, and any nearby object to badly injure me. I had tried my best to avoid a confrontation, but I knew my only choice was to fight back. I played football in high school, and I still had my large figure, so I used my brute strength to overpower the man. Despite being larger than him, it was still extremely difficult to hold him down, and the only way I was going to escape was if I knocked him out. However, right when I was about to land the final blow, a man began to scream the words, "Por favor, ayúdame." My Spanish wasn't really good, as the last time I'd taken a Spanish class was in middle school. But from what I could remember, I could tell the words the man was screaming meant, "Please help me." I immediately let him go and tried to communicate with the little Spanish I knew. The man then led me down to the building's basement, and the scenes I witnessed there horrified me to my core. Hundreds of men, women, and children were tied up in chains. The man then showed me his daughter, who had ghastly surgical scars all over her body. I didn't fully comprehend what had happened to her despite the man's explanations in Spanish, but I was able to understand the words órgano, which meant organ, and trata de personas, a disturbing statement that meant human trafficking. I didn't need anyone to tell me that my father was responsible for all this. Tears filled my eyes as I realized that these were the side jobs my father had never revealed to us. It was the most difficult decision I ever had to make in life, but I knew I wouldn't be able to live with myself if I kept the atrocities my father had committed a secret. so I called the cops and told them everything. I can still remember the look on my father's face when the officers arrived. He was talking on a business call when they placed him in handcuffs, and I could see the pain and anger in his eyes as they took him away. A thorough investigation was immediately carried out after my father's arrest, and it was revealed my father was part of a huge organ harvesting and human trafficking group overseen by the New Generation Sinaloa Cartel. He apparently used his realtor and house flipping business as a front so that he could buy houses and store the people he trafficked before moving them across the country. The man who had attacked me in the building's hallway told the officers that he was part of the trafficked people. He'd dislocated his thumb to escape his chains so he could get help for his daughter, who had already been subjected to numerous organ harvesting operations as they'd taken one of her kidneys and parts of her liver. He then explained to the officers that he'd attacked me because he'd initially thought I was one of the human traffickers who put them down there. The news of my father's arrest shocked everyone in our neighborhood and the entire town. My siblings couldn't believe the atrocities he had committed, and the revelations nearly ruined and split apart our entire family, as hearing the horrors he had put those people through broke all our hearts. It was a very difficult time for all of us, but we all tried to move past it and get back to our normal lives after the morbid situation had blown over. However, the eyes of the trafficked people I saw in that abandoned building still haunt me to this very day. Despite years of counseling, I know that there's nothing I can do to move on from the horrors I'd witnessed that day. But in an effort to atone for the atrocities my father committed, I became a human trafficking activist, dedicating my life to helping those who have suffered at the hands of evil and cruel human traffickers, like my father. The story you just heard was based on a disturbing series of human trafficking true crime cases that happened in the United States throughout 2016. After the capture of Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, the leader of the Sinaloa cartel, on the 8th of January 2016, the U.S. authorities intensified their fight against the cartel's new generation of human trafficking operations that were raging across the U.S. The authorities cracked down and uncovered numerous organ harvesting and human trafficking rings across the United States. During these operations, a few affluent businessmen were linked with the cartel's trafficking group and arrested. Most of these men used their legitimate businesses as a front for these human trafficking operations, and the authorities reported that these traffickers were mostly prevalent in the southern states. Despite the authorities' best efforts to identify and arrest the criminals involved in trafficking, these disturbing human trafficking groups are still operating in many states across the U.S., where they continue to commit unspeakable atrocities to this very day.
I have always been a lover of urban exploration. From a young age, abandoned buildings and desolate places caught my attention. And as I grew up, my interest only grew and grew.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Telluretic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
My friends and I used to go on adventures together. We would film everything, even though it wasn't much. You know, abandoned houses, dark parts of the road, and all that. Sometimes we'd find interesting things, and sometimes we'd just get pictures full of dust and debris, but the adrenaline was always worth it. Unfortunately, not everything was perfect. Sometimes I had a few fights with my friends, and we were all too proud. No one ever gave in. Once, we were at my house when one of my friends started making fun of my camera skills. I didn't take the teasing very well and got angry. The jokes turned into insults, and before I knew it, the encounter became physical. Obviously, we were going to make friends, but at that point, the fight seemed huge, and I decided to go exploring alone. There was a place I'd always wanted to visit, a complex of abandoned school buildings on the outskirts of the city. The place had been decommissioned decades ago and had a reputation for being dangerous, not only because of its state of disrepair, but also because of rumors of strange people lurking around. I didn't care. I was determined to have my own urban exploration, and I could swear nothing would happen to me. I still regret having been so innocent. The night I decided to go, I didn't think too much about it. I simply grabbed my backpack, my flashlight, and my camera and headed to the site. Rain had been falling incessantly for the past few weeks, making the terrain slippery and even more dangerous. But that just added an extra touch of excitement to the expedition. The school compound looked imposing and desolate once I was there. I hopped over the chain-link fence and advanced toward the main building. Inside, the air was damp and thick, filled with the smell of mildew. The corridors were dark and silent, although I could hear the constant drip of water seeping through the ceiling. The sound of my footsteps sounded really loud. I guess this also happened in all the abandoned places, but since I was always with my friends talking, none of them noticed. I walked slowly, stopping to take pictures of the faded murals and dust-covered furniture. As I went along, I realized that the building was much larger than I had imagined. There were several wings and floors, each darker and quieter than the last. At some point, while exploring one of the classrooms on the second floor, I heard a sound. It wasn't the typical creaking of the old building or the dripping of water. It was a murmur, although it was really very low. I turned off my flashlight and stood still, listening intently. The murmur was repeated, followed by a slight movement. At that moment, I realized that the games were over. I was not alone in the building. The right thing to do would have been to leave as soon as possible, but I was already too far inside to simply run away. If I ran away, I could run into the source of that sound and I could be in danger. I thought the smartest thing to do was to follow the sound, understand what it was, and where it came from. Following the murmur, I walked out of the classroom and into one of the side corridors. The place was even darker here, with the windows blocked by boards and debris. I walked slowly, making sure not to make too much noise. The rustling continued, getting louder as I got closer. I came around a corner and peeked my head out. What I saw chilled my blood. On the ground, surrounded by lit candles, was a man. He seemed to be praying or reciting something under his breath. He was dirty, with messy hair and a thick beard. He wore old, worn-out clothes, and his hands were covered with dirt. The man seemed to be talking to someone, but he was alone. Oh God, at last the day has come. I tried to warn them. I tried to stop this from happening, but they never listened. I can't blame you. You were more than patient. I backed away slowly, trying not to make a sound, but I stepped on a piece of broken glass and the crunch echoed down the hall. The man raised his head abruptly and looked in my direction. We had come across other hobos before, and really neither I nor my friends were afraid of them. We just ran and it was all over. But this was no hobo. I could recognize in his look that there was something else about him. something that made me understand immediately that this person was really dangerous. Who is there? I didn't answer, expecting him to go back to his strange ritual, but instead he got up and started walking toward me. I knew that doing so revealed my position, but I couldn't just stand there, so I turned and ran down the hallway, looking for a place to hide. I ran as fast as I could, slipping on the wet floor and tripping over debris. I could hear the man's footsteps behind me. I was slowly getting further away, but I still had to keep running. I needed to find a way out or hide somewhere, but the building was a maze. I turned a corner and found a door ajar. Without thinking twice, I slipped inside and closed it gently, turning off my flashlight so as to not give away my position. I curled up in a corner, trying to control my breathing and listening for footsteps outside. The man walked past me, muttering to himself. His footsteps faded into the distance, and for a moment I thought I was safe. But then a rustling behind me made me turn my head. I reopened the door to go in the opposite direction the man had gone, but as I started to walk, I found a person in front of me, much more disheveled and untidy than before. I tried to turn around and run back, but I didn't have time to react. I jumped up and ran for the door, but the man caught me and knocked me to the ground. I fell flat on my face, hitting my head on the hard floor. The pain blurred my vision for a moment, but I gathered my strength to try to get up again. I struggled with the man, pushing him with all my strength. I managed to push him away enough to run out of the area, and I ran again. I was absolutely lost. I regretted not being with my friends, and now I was stuck in this situation from which I might not be able to return. Somehow I had to keep running. I had to get out of there alive. I turned another corner and found myself back in the main hallway. I didn't know if the man were still behind me, but I didn't stop to check. I ran toward the stairs, determined to find a way out. I descended the steps two at a time, almost slipping in the process. When I reached the second floor, I saw an exit door at the end of the hallway. It seemed too good to be true. I ran toward it, hoping it wasn't locked. I reached the door, and miraculously, it opened. I stepped outside, inhaling deeply into the cold, damp air. The rain was still falling, soaking me instantly. I didn't care. I was outside, and for the moment, safe. I looked around, searching for somewhere I could get completely out of the place. Then I saw him. The first man, the one who had been muttering, was standing in the rain, looking down at me. "I knew you were coming. When there is a problem, there is always a solution. You didn't come here by chance. You shouldn't be afraid. You are a miracle." Suddenly, behind me, the other man grabbed me from behind and squeezed me tightly. I couldn't escape. He had a breath of alcohol that was almost intolerable. I could feel his unkempt beard on the back of my neck, but my concern was not him, but the man in front of me. The man approached me with the calmest, most terrifying smile I had ever seen in my life. In his hand, he held a pair of rusty scissors, which he showed me as a sign that he was going to stab me with them. "I hate the rain. It has to be stopped somehow. You are very generous to have sought me out. You know, I could stop it." I did everything I could to free myself from the man. He might be bigger than me, but he was definitely weaker. I could tell he didn't have much strength, and his body was getting tired from holding me for so long. I managed to free myself in time, and the man almost got the scissors into his partner, who fell down looking at him in panic, terrified that the other man almost killed him. Meanwhile, the man with the scissors ignored him and only looked at me. "You can't chicken out now. The rains will continue. They will never stop. You have just condemned us all." I made it out of that night alive, but barely. The police found the two men shortly thereafter, muttering about the rain and the end of the world. It turned out that the first was Herbert Mullen, a man who had been famous decades earlier for his crimes in California. This man was not a burglar like any other who might be out there, but a dangerous serial killer. He had escaped from a mental institution and had somehow found his way here. Mullen was convinced that his actions were necessary to prevent natural disasters, a belief fueled by his schizophrenia. His partner, a burglar he had met along the way, had joined him in his madness. Both were arrested and taken back to the institution. After that, urban exploration no longer held the same appeal for me. Abandoned places were no longer just old, crumbling buildings. They were potential traps. Whether alone or with my friends, we were all in danger. For even if I had been with them that night, nothing would have stopped that psychopath from trying to kill us with those rusty scissors. This story is inspired by the crimes of Herbert Mullen, an American serial killer who terrorized California in the early 1970s. Born in 1947, Mullen began showing signs of mental instability at a young age, developing extreme paranoia and believing he must commit murder to prevent an impending devastating earthquake in California. Over the course of 4 months between 1972 and 1973, he murdered 13 people, including random strangers as well as acquaintances. His erratic behavior and delusional justifications evidenced his profound mental illness, which led to his diagnosis of paranoid schizophrenia.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Despite his disorder, Mullen was convicted of 10 first-degree and 3 second-degree murders, receiving multiple life sentences.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at WeightWatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program.
I'm able to live my life and still hit my goals.
Lose more at WeightWatchers.com.